Good evening. Welcome to our midweek Bible study. This lesson is the final one in the series, And God Said. Let's pray before we start. Lord Jesus, we just love you so very much, and we're just thankful for this time that we have to spend studying your word. And God, as we go through this lesson tonight, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to the things that you would have for us to learn. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. So our series for the last few weeks has been called And God Said. And it has been based in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, it reveals a lot about what we know about the nature and the character of God. The start of Genesis with creation, it gives us a springboard for the understanding of four specific principles to learn. A principle is a fundamental truth that becomes our foundation for what we believe. And God has established these principles in his word, and we should live those out today. I just want to take some time, because this is the last lesson, to go through the three previous principles that we've learnt. The first one we learnt from the book of Genesis was the divine principle of separation, and that was found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. The first thing God did in creation was that he separated light from darkness. And God has called his people out of darkness into his marvelous light. In this first lesson, we discussed practical ways that we can separate ourselves from the darkness of this world as we pursue Jesus. The second principle that we looked at was the divine principle of sowing and reaping. And that was based from the scripture in Genesis 1, verse 11. God established this principle of sowing and reaping. And in this second lesson, we explored how we reap what we sow. The fact that what we do has consequences, both negative and positive. We also discussed how to sow things that reap blessings in our lives and in our families' lives. The third lesson, and the third principle, was the principle of growth. And we found that in Genesis 1, verse 26 to 31. God established that living things would grow and multiply. And Jesus calls us today to grow spiritually and to help others grow alongside the journey of becoming his disciples. So in this third lesson, we discussed principles of spiritual growth and how to help others grow in God. And then we come to this fourth lesson tonight. It's the divine principle of community. God created his people to live in community. In this lesson tonight, we'll explore the need that we have to reject isolation and the value in embracing community in our lives. So when you hear the word community, what do you think of? Maybe you think of different community groups, walking groups, a craft group, a mother's group, different support groups. The dictionary definition of community is a group of people living in the same place or having a particular characteristic in common. It also means the condition of sharing or having certain attitudes and interests in common. So the scripture we're focusing on today is in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18 to 22. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 22 says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him.' So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. When we read this portion of scripture in Genesis, we know that God does all things well. We know that he doesn't make mistakes. Yet here in this scripture, we see that God assesses the results of creating Adam and he pronounced a judgment. He looked at all he had done and he made a declaration. It is not good that man should be alone. So God followed this evaluation by creating another human to live in this new community. While we know there are implications about this part of creation for marriage, and the underlying principle shows us that humans were not made to exist in isolation. Over the past few years, even the term isolation has meant a lot more to all of us. We have all probably had to spend some time isolated or isolating from others around us. We can look back now, and some might even say that they appreciated the time that they had to themselves, but overall, we can actually see a negative aspect of isolation in our community. The Australian Institute of Health and Welfare presented a report in September 2021 on social isolation and loneliness. Studies taken back in 2018 showed that 30% of people experienced loneliness at some point in their lives. The report said that further studies taken since the start of COVID show that this number has risen to 55% of people experiencing loneliness. Loneliness has been linked to premature death, poor physical and mental health, and general dissatisfaction with life. Social isolation has also been linked to mental illness, emotional distress, the development of dementia, premature death, poor health behaviours, smoking, physical inactivity, poor sleep, high blood pressure, and poor immune function. But we know that we don't need studies to prove to us that God knows what he is doing, because he said and he made that principle that it is not good for man to be alone. We are made in God's image. God made humans in his image. The word of God says that. Every person, no matter their attributes, is made in the image of God. Part of who God is one who longs to be in relationship with his people. And we see this throughout the whole Bible. Just as God longs to be in relationship with his people, there is an impulse within each human being to be in relationship with others. And this desire to connect with others is what drives our need for community. When we come together as a community, a group of people connecting with each other, we feed something innate within us we might not otherwise satisfy. We all need human interaction. Even though some people are more introverted than others, all of us on some level need the human interaction that comes by joining together in community. Extroversion or introversion, that refers to where someone gets their energy from. The difference between the two is that extroverts are energized through socialization and collaboration, whereas introverts receive their energy from alone time or in social settings with much smaller groups. And both are completely fine. If you are an introvert, that does not mean that you don't need community. We all need community. We need support, a sense of belonging. Regardless of what you consider yourself to be, none of us should find ourselves alone all the time. We belong to a diverse community. While God created us with a longing for community, he also made each person unique. Because of these unique attributes and differences that exist among us, collaborating together as a community, it takes intention. We have to be intentional about that. Being part of a community won't just happen. We need to make the effort to be with others and to work together with each other. And of course, our differences can mean that there can be clashes in our thoughts or our opinions or the way that we do things. But that doesn't mean we should just give up on spending time together. Rather than pulling us apart, our differences should actually complement each other and draw us together. I love spending time with people from different backgrounds and cultures, and I love being with others who are a different age to me. It adds so much interest, and it's just a wonderful thing to be able to do that. So the same fruit of the Spirit that should be on display in our lives as a result of the principle of spiritual growth should help us live in community. Last week we learnt about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. They all become more active in our lives as we grow in God. They help us to come together despite our differences. It's amazing. The closer we become to God, the more we become like Him, and the fruit of the Spirit is evident in our lives, and the easier it is to be together in a community. Simply put, the more we grow in God, the more tightly knit we will be as a community as well. It goes hand in hand. We must value community and intentionally create opportunities to connect with one another and grow together. God's people are a community like no other. Community is not important just for practical or social reasons. There are so many community groups around us, but our connection with God's people is one of the most important communities that we can develop. We need to make this community a priority in our lives. The Bride of Christ, the body of God, God's people, the church, however we refer to ourselves, we are a community of believers. We have that in common. Building relationships with fellow believers around the world, giving to kingdom causes, praying for the church together, it helps us to fulfill God's purposes for the day in which we live. And our local church is also an important community. Church should be more than a place that we go just to fulfill an obligation. It's more than just a spiritual discipline that we set apart in our lives. We grow together spiritually as a community by what we learn, feel, and experience in God's presence with one another. There are many examples of this. Just the other day we had our verse mapping group in church, and even after spending that time together, studying God's word together, I always feel so full after being with the ladies just that once a month meeting. There is a bond formed when there is community. We know we have men's conferences, ladies' conferences, youth camp. All of these times spent together in the presence of God and just being with each other strengthens us. As we intentionally build relationships with others in church, we then create opportunities for God to minister to us and through us in moments beyond just being in a church service. Serving in ministries together are a wonderful way of building community. BU Club, Pathfinders, Sunday School, ushers and greeters, the music ministry, Bible college classes, they're all teams of people working together to minister to others, but we also are ministered to ourselves. The more our sense of community grows within the church, the more magnetic the pull of God's love is when a newcomer visits a church. We start to look for opportunities to connect and to make others feel as welcome as we do. I just want to go through four more benefits of community for us. Community is encouraging. It gives us the opportunity to be around people at all different stages in their faith journey and to be able to bear their burdens alongside them. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2 says, share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. Everyone has something to learn and everyone has something to teach. It creates an ideal environment for that Barnabas, Paul and Timothy model. To be a Barnabas, a friend to someone. To be a Paul, to be a teacher to someone else. And to be a Timothy, to be a student learning from somebody. It comes down to lifting each other up, learning from one another and being a friend each of us needs. And that's how Hebrews describes community. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25, it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We should be doing this more and more. It needs to be a priority and it needs to be an intentional thing that we do. The second thing is that community is fun. Psalm 133 verse 1 says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Community is enjoyable. The third thing is that community attracts God. Matthew 18 verse 20 says, for where two or three gather together as my followers, I am there among them. And a great example of this was in the early church in Acts. And they made a habit of meeting together, eating together and worshipping together. And as a result, we read in Acts 2, 46 to 47, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Being in church on Sundays is definitely important, but we find ministry happening in community. The fourth benefit to community is that it fosters love. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians that the greatest of these is love. He did the same with his letter to the Colossians. In Colossians 3, verse 13 to 14, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So we are a body fitly framed together. Scripture has so much to say about church community, and Paul compared this community to a physical body. We read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 27. We're just going to take a moment to go through these verses. So no matter our individual differences, we have the most important thing in common, and that is that we are united as spirit-filled members of his body. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 to 14 says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. We are united as Spirit-filled members of his body. This scripture also tells us that every part of the body has a purpose and a value. There is no unimportant members of his body. Everyone is needed for his body to function. Carrying on from verse 15 down to verse 20, it says, if the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange your body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. I love that part of that scripture that says, and God has put each part just where he wants it. We shouldn't diminish any part of the body of God, and we shouldn't elevate any part of the body of God. We are joined together for a purpose. Jesus has framed us together to make the maximum impact we can for his glory. We need each other in this process of serving him for his purposes and his glory. In the same scripture, 1 Corinthians 12, now verse 21 to 24, it says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honourable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honourable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honour and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. God's plan for us is to be united in his purpose. Understanding and embracing our differences can help us work more effectively side by side in his kingdom. 1 Corinthians 12, now down to verse 25, says, this makes for harmony among the members so that the members care for each other. This kind of body is so closely connected that if one member hurts, everyone hurts. And if one member celebrates, everyone celebrates. The body should be completely united. And the final part of that scripture, verse 26 to 27, says, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honoured, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. We are a part of a community of God's body. We are a part of the church. And from this place of a united community, the church can then fulfill God's mission to a broken world that needs his love. And that requires us to come together with a commitment to building community. As a result, God can then reach lives in ways that it is not possible if the church was fractured or isolated. Community is God's gift to us, and it's also God's plan in how he will work. So today, how can you commit to build community in your life? How can you be a bit more intentional about being in community with fellow believers? And how can you create community around you where you are? Maybe you need to step out of your comfort zone a little bit more than you do at the moment. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that you have placed us in your body. Lord, that you have placed us in a place, God, where we have support and love around us by others. We thank you for the community that we have here in Canberra, God, of people to pray for us and encourage us, people that we can serve you with, God. And Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would help us not to isolate ourselves or to to live in isolation, God, but that we would seek community, Lord, because I know that that is where you want us to be, Lord, to grow, to be more and more like you. I pray that you'd be with every one of us, Lord. I pray that we would be able to reach out to someone else this next week, God, who may be feeling lonely or isolated, God, that we would be able to share your love with others this coming week. We thank you and we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.